Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class number 258. Just automatically give me the thumbs up, and when once the cameras are all live and Spreaker is live and you can hear me well. If you cannot hear me, put something on the comments so that our technician will know. Thumbs up. Thumbs up in the back. Thumbs up. Thumbs up. They're telling me that YouTube Live is not up. Periscope 1, thumbs up. Periscope 2, thumbs up. In the back. In the back over here. All right, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. I do not know who won the last game, so do not tell me. I would rather watch the highlights. I've been playing in the game myself of spiritual warfare and getting the gospel out to a dying and lost world. I hope you enjoyed the game. I will enjoy the highlights, so don't tell me anything. How to overcome temptation or yield not to temptation. I'm going to read two verses to you and in your hearing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This should be a Bible be verse for you, or a memory verse. You ought to hide it in your heart. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then I want to read in your hearing Proverbs 24:1-2. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the previous services throughout this day. And, Lord, we thank you for what you have done and for what you are doing and for what you will do. We thank you for your holy word that says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Have mercy and grace upon us, and for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, help everybody here to realize and to fully understand that we are under satanic, demonic, spiritual attack. Because we cannot see it, people struggle with believing it. But when an organization, a ministry, a church is getting the gospel out and your holy word out, 4 and 5 and 6 times a day all around the world. The devil wants that stopped, and he is trying his best to stop it. And so, Lord, I, and you know this better than we do, so we commit it all into your hands. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll help us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and to truly believe your word that says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We're dealing with the devil and his cohorts, and who they want the preaching of the gospel to stop, and all of the podcasting and all of the publications to end that proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, give your servants and your workers spiritual, mental, and physical grace and strength. Give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears, and help them to see what you're doing and what the enemy is doing. And give us, I pray tonight, once again, sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Wash and cleanse our hearts, our minds, our consciences, our spirits, in the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, help us all to repent of sin and worldliness, anything that is not pleasing in your sight. And we pray that you'll help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves before you, and to get back to you, our first love. Help us to take advantage of the space to repent. And Lord, what a fitting message this is tonight. Yield not to temptation. How to overcome temptation. Not only the blatant outward sins that everybody can know about, but Lord, those secret sins deep down in the recesses of our hearts and minds and souls and spirits. The sins of pride, the sins of stubbornness, the sins of rebelliousness, the sins of lasciviousness, the sins of lust, the sins of anger, the sins of wrath, the sins of a bad attitude, the sins of hate and racism and prejudice and stubbornness. And Lord, we do pray that you will protect the folks, everybody in Richmond, Virginia this week. And Lord, there are people in the world and in this nation who want to see a civil war. And Lord, let cooler heads prevail, for that's not going to benefit anybody. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Our enemy, there's a civil war going on between the people of God and the enemies of God. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cast, Lord, all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. We pray that you cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness out of the hearts and minds of the people who claim to be saved, who claim to be Christians, but who have allowed the devil a doorway into their lives through sin, through pornography, through rebelliousness, through watching demonic witchcraft, satanic foolishness online and on television. And it's come through that doorway, and now they're controlled by devils and demons, even though they claim to be saved. And Lord, deliver them and truly save their souls and change their lives here and out there. And Lord, rebuke and bind the spirit of the devil and the demons of hell, the spirit of Judas and Sanballat and Tobias in this place and in every other Bible-believing place around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. ladies and gentlemen, Dr. C.H. Spurgeon said the cure for envy lies in living under a constant sense of the divine presence, worshiping God and communing with Him all the day long. However long the day may seem. And that's what God wants to do. He wants you to do. He wants you to focus on Him. And Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, He wants you to trust in Him, believe on Him, and focus on Him. Communicate with Him, pray without ceasing, and be taken up with Him to the point that you don't have the mind or the time or the energy to envy sinful human beings. True religion lifts the soul into a higher region where the judgment becomes more clear and the desires are more elevated. The more of heaven there is in our lives, the less of earth we shall covet. And that is so true. And what should be happening in your life, by the way, is that if, as you are growing older in the Lord, such things as envy and materialism and money and even football games, which I enjoy not watching whole games, I enjoy watching the highlights. They really don't satisfy. And they seem very, very small in light of what we're dealing with right now, which is the Word of God. And what we have done pretty much all day today is, and that is to pray to God and to preach the gospel and to preach His holy word. Every God-called preacher will tell you that the things of this world pale in comparison to the preaching of the word and getting the gospel out and going to the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord every Sunday. And you come down, things look very small and very insignificant. I can assure you that it really doesn't matter that much to a God-called preacher who won the football game, nor does it matter that much what the other church did if you have been with God yourself. And that's the key, my beloved. The way that you never envy anybody else is that you be in relationship with God and with Jesus yourself. You pray without ceasing. You make sure you're doing God's will in your life for His kingdom. And you will never have time to be envious of others and wondering what other people are doing. He goes on to say, Charles Haddon Spurgeon goes on to say, the fear of God casts out envy of men. Did you get that? He said, the fear of God casts out envy of men, and that includes women. If you're envious of other people, if you go to church with a heart full of envy, if you go to church and may God help you just to suffer envying, you just go to see what other people are driving up in and what they're wearing, in the ministries that they have, and you're like an outsider looking in, you need to connect with God yourself. You might need to be saved and born again and start serving God yourself. And then you will not have any room and you will not have any time to go on social media to see what other people do, are doing. I have never done that by the grace of God. And we thank God that our ministry has leveraged the internet and social media like so many other ministries. And I thank God for my children who picked it up and blessed their father to be able to preach around the world through means and ways that I never thought of in my life. And without them, I could not do it. One preacher in his 40s said, people over 50 and 60 and all that, they just need to leave it alone. Just use the phone for emergencies. Call, answer the phone if you can, if you know the button to push, and that's it. Don't try to get on social media. Don't be trying to defend yourself on social media or get involved with that because you don't know what you're doing. You need to let young people who instinctively they know how to do it. But, and probably, one of the reasons why I've never looked on social media to see what other people are doing and to compare ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise, is because, I don't even know how to do it. Number two, I wouldn't want to do it. I know how to move around now a little bit, but I have no interest in doing it. You know why? Because my cup is full and running over. If you're envious of other people and you're concerned every week, every day about what Sister So-and-so is doing, Brother So-and-so is doing, and you always following everybody, I follow you. Listen, man, leave all that mess alone. Stop following everybody just to keep up with what they're doing. And follow Jesus. And he's not on social media like that. Okay? Stop following every preacher. Stop following every pastor. Be pastoring. Stop trying to get a pastor. You already have one. You got Jesus. You have God. You got Jesus. You got your home pastor. That's it. You don't need to be trying to make everybody your pastor, your prophet, your bishop, your mentor, and all this foolishness. There's too many doggone mentors going around, and they don't have themselves together. The mentors don't even have themselves together. They have mentors. Got great-grandfather mentors, grandfather mentors, grandmother mentors, mother mentors, and my mentors told me to tell you, mentee, to tell your mentee, and it's just a mess. It has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with the Bible. You don't need a mentor. You need a pastor, and that's it. You don't even need the pastor's wife. She has her children to take care of and her husband. I assure you, that is enough. Excuse me. I'm telling you the truth. Human beings, individual human beings, cannot handle all your mess and their mess and their children's mess and their grandchildren's mess and their husband's mess. She can barely handle her mess. Talking about, would you please be my mentor? Are you kidding me? She needs a mentor. And the real mentors are so busy trying to get their groove on themselves, they 55 and up. They've already had one or two husbands, or three, two or three sets of children out there trying to be cute, trying to look like the millennials. And they look like a millennium old. Old as Methuselah. And I don't care what you do, honey. And people are changing their bodies. God didn't tell them to do that. Going to doctors to change their bodies, given as a gift to go get you some breast implants. God did not tell you to do that. Butt implants. I'm giving this. I mean, this is how silly. And even in the church, we have fake Negroes in the church, male and female. I saw a Negro the other day. Bless his heart. He was a preacher who got into some trouble, and he did, somebody paid for something, and he looked, he didn't even look like himself. He was much lighter, much brighter. He did something to his skin, did something to his hairline, did something to his head. His head was bigger than what it was before. I don't know what happened. But I couldn't even recognize. I couldn't believe it was him. I don't know. People have lost their minds. And now there are television shows showing you everything on how to put how the doctor puts the implant in. It's just so demonically sad. It's just demonic what people are doing, trying to keep up with everybody else. I want a butt like hers, but God did not give you a butt like hers. I want breasts like her. God didn't give you that. I want a face. I want to look like Kim. You're not Kim. Now Kim doesn't even look like Kim anymore. Why? What's driving all of this foolishness? Envy. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise, the Bible says. Jealousy, pride, arrogancy, changing what God gave us. And I want to tell you something. A normal, real man, a down-to-earth man, he doesn't want all that. He doesn't want no fake breasts. He doesn't want any fake nothing on your face that's going to rub off. Fake hair that's going to show up on the pillow when you get up. And he doesn't want a fake butt. They don't want that. No man wants. I hate to break your burst a little bit. Well, I got to do something to attract them. Well, you can only keep them with what you have. You wake up one morning talking about your butt hurts because something is leaking, and then you finally tell him that you got to go and get something taken out of your behind. That's going to be a problem. You may not see that man again. Stop looking at other people and look at God who made you. Look at Jesus who made you. And some of you mad already because I would go there and touch that. But I'm telling you, you're wasting your life, you're wasting your money, you're wasting your time. And yes, you're going to have to go get it taken out when you start getting older. And it ain't wrinkling like it's supposed to wrinkle, and it's still there. And you start having pain because you're going to age whether you like it or not, sister, brother. And just let me get up close on you. I can see the age. I can see it. You're getting older and uglier. Yes, you are. Why? Because you're dying. And please don't die with fake stuff and go meet God. I don't know the angel at the gate. I say, well, who are you? I thought so-and-so was coming. What's your name? Let me see if your name's on the list. Dr. Tony Renke said, when we envy the wicked and grow jealous of the circumstances of those who do not honor God, we are like dumb animals in our ignorance. That's the blunt reality, he said. And the solution is not only in knowing about God, but also in knowing more about the future actions of God. God will punish the wicked. He will right all wrongs, for God made it very clear, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a woman soweth, that shall she also reap. And if you're not careful, the Bible says you'll reap the whirlwind. That's bad. When all hell breaks loose on you, he will chastise all those who will not worship and obey. He will bring an end to their flourishing. And although I cannot see God's vengeance now, I know it is drawing close. After a while, by and by, as someone said a long time ago, the wheel of God grinds very slow, but it grinds slow. The wicked will be swept away in a moment. Their footing will not hold on to their present comforts. They will tumble down into a terror, and they will fall down into a nightmare that will never end in hell, in the lake of fire. Everything in this life will fail, and when it fails and shakes and crumbles, you don't want to be standing with all your hopes and joy rooted in them. God's strength and joy is forever. Stand there and don't move. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in wrapping up this particular message, here are two more things we can learn from this powerful passage about not being envious of the wicked. Second, we should not be envious of the wicked because their hearts study destruction. Do you know that the wicked, they think about destruction all the time? Of course, it always ends up destroying them. I saw in a news story this past week a very famous or infamous woman who was known to be a big part of the drug trade on the Mexican border. I saw a striking picture of this beautiful woman. They had a special name for her because she was a cold-blooded killer. But the day had come, she had to reap what she had sown. And she was tragically sitting on the ground with a bullet hole to her head and in her body. She had not died yet in the picture. She has reaped what she has sown. God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And she died. People, some of the news stories that you hear about in the Dallas Morning News, Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, your hometown newspaper, atrocities, husband killing his wife, wife killing her husband with poison, son just the other day in Utah killing everybody in the family, These are the wicked who are constantly thinking about destruction, destroying the lives of others and even destroying their own lives. The ways of the wicked lead to destruction. They think about destruction all of the time. They can't get murder out of their mind. They can't get robbing out of their minds. They can't get hatred out of their minds. They can't get racism out of their minds. They love it. They think about it all the time. They go to bed thinking about it. They can't sleep thinking about it, dreaming about it for days and weeks and months and sometimes years until they appear at a school and start shooting up people for no reason. They aim to destroy others, and their path will eventually lead to their destruction from God. And Dr. Tim Challis said, perhaps if we were to summarize, we could say that we can envy the depravity of unbelievers. Now, this is one of the dear brothers that, you know, they think of a whole lot of new ways of saying things. So you might have to catch this one by freight. You won't get it by air. He said, we are saved people who have undergone a great transformation, but we remain sinful people who have undergone an incomplete transformation. The old man is still within, still longing to have what he wants, what he loves, what he believes he deserves. To our shame, we can envy the depravity of unbelievers, the very acts and deeds that will assure their everlasting torment. I told you, you might have to get this one by FedEx freight, not by air. It is repeatedly stated, this end of quote, it is repeatedly stated throughout Holy Scripture that those who study destruction, who study evil, who study rebelliousness, will be destroyed. The stone that they roll will be rolled back on them. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, my God help us, it shall die. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Unless we want to end up wicked and in hell like the wicked, we should not follow them along their path to destruction. And we ought not to be thinking about destruction, dreaming about destruction, and plotting it and planning it. I just heard today, you know, for those of us who are truly born and blood washed, some of the evil we would never think of in a million years. Somebody recently, they took something that was pretty normal. I forget what it was. And it somehow, if you let it sit for a while or something, it turns into a poison. And they put it in the man's drink. First of all, I want to know, what made you think of this normal little thing that we're all familiar with? I can't think of it, what it is now. How did you find out if you let it sit for a while or whatever, it turns into a poison? And then secondly, I want to know how in the world did the police find out that's what he did? I mean, the evil that people can think of to kill people and to destroy people and to destroy even their own children and their own lives. And then lastly tonight, we should not be envious of the wicked because they speak mischief. Have you ever been around somebody? They're always plotting and planning something that is not righteous. I as a young preacher, I knew of and met an older preacher. He drove a Cadillac, but he lived in the projects. And that joker tried to get me, a young man of God, to scam the project people and to get housing over there where he was living at by lying about my background and my finances and so forth and so on. I said, preacher, I said, number one, I don't want to live in the projects. I've never lived in the projects in my life. I'm not putting people down who live in the projects, but I don't care how free it is. All you got to do is pay $3 a month. And preacher, I can't do that. I'm not going to lie to get into the projects with you. Just corrupt. He's probably dead now. Older preacher. All right, then. I'm trying to help you now. See, you can save that money. You're going to be paying $700, $800 over there where you living at. I can get you in here for $3. And then you can drive a Cadillac like me. I said, man, I'm not with that, man. I'm not that kind of person. And this destruction, this mischief that you're doing, it's going to catch up with you. And it did. God told me not to be bothered with that. But everything he came up with was a scam. Come here, preacher. Let me tell you something about this right here now. And here's how you can do this right here. So forth and so on. I've been doing this for years. Let me show you. Have you ever been around people like that? They always got a scam. Their mouth is full of mischief. They always got some little plot, some little evil, some little thing to get over on. And, all right, then when you reject, all right, then I'm just trying to help you now. You save yourself some money, boy. Okay? I said, preacher, I can't do that. The mouths of the wicked are given over to speaking out against God and all things that are good. They plan evil, dishonor God, and cause harm to their neighbor. But eventually, their speech will turn to come against them. Will turn against them and come against them. Their evil words will come against them, as it is for this preacher. See, the Bible makes it very clear that the way of the transgressor is hard. You can count on that, my beloved. And his way was hard. Things didn't work out. See, for example, I went over to the preacher's house in the projects to visit him and talk with him about some things that he needed to get right because he tried to scam me. I see the car out there. I knock on the door. Darkness inside. Won't even open the window, the curtain. He finally peek out the window to see it's me. Everything dark on the inside, and he all talking low and everything. See, that's how you got to live when you're trying to scam everybody and trying to cheat everybody and doing evil. He always said, "Come on in, preacher." I said, "No, I can't. I can't come. It's dark in here, man. I can't come in." "Well, you can't stand outside." I said, "Well, I got to go." But that's the kind of life they live. A lying, thieving, sneaky, can't even open the windows, can't open the door, life. We should not compromise our morality when we are tempted with being envious at the wicked. Instead, we should respect God and work to be a blessing to others. Some of you, you got friends, even in your church. They always got some kind of scheme. Do you hear me? They're schemers. They're plotters. They're demonic planners. They're constantly thinking about how they can scam somebody and cheat somebody and get over on somebody. And some of you are good-hearted, and they'll get you caught up in it. Hey, you know, I know you're not making enough money. Why don't you come down here with me and dance? Girl, as good as you look, you make $1,000 a night, honey. Cha-ching! If you have no constitution, you have no conviction, you have no word of God inside of you, you're going right on down there and get raped. Messing with the devil women who they'll take you down there and then leave you. And they'll turn against you and tell some dog to mess with you. Girl, I know you're not making enough money to take care of that apartment you're living in. Why don't you just go over here and become an escort with me? You make some good money. Then you say, well, I don't want to be a prostitute. No, it's not. I'm not talking about prostitution. We Christians. Girl, we go to the same church. What are you talking about? No, just be with some older men who need some company. You dress nice. You go out to eat. And then you say, well, what about, well, you know, I mean, you're a woman and he's a man, you know, you negotiate all that. And there you go. Fool around and get raped and get beat up. Get put in the hospital. And you wish you had listened to God, God's word, your father, your parents. Now your life is messed up. Hanging around people who do nothing but think of evil and how to scam and scheme on you. Stop envying the wicked. How can I have a car like that? Well, girl, you got to do what I do. Man, you got to do. Come on down here, brother. You know, I know you're a brother in the Lord and everything. Come on down here with me, man. You know. In Texas, you know, you can have a gun. You can carry a gun. You need a gun. You have a gun? Oh, no. I know. Well, we need to get you a gun. You know, because, you know, to join our little fraternity, it's kind of like a gang and everything. But, we don't do a whole lot of bad stuff. But we make a lot of money with those, you know, bringing in that dough. You say you got a degree in accounting? Yeah, you'll be a good worker for us. How much you getting paid down at your accounting gig? Oh, I get paid about $3,000 a month. That's pretty good. How about $3,000 a week? Huh? Can you handle that? We can fix you up, but you got to carry a gun because you know we got to deal with some thugs sometime. And you out the first day with them, they see you in the you get shot in the car with the guy who got you in it. Your life is shot to hell. And you going to jail. Everybody else got killed. Now you going to jail. And ladies and gentlemen, Isaac Watts wrote, I to my God my ways commit, and cheerful wait his will. Thy hand which guides my doubtful feet shall my desires fulfill. Mine innocence shalt thou display and make thy judgments known. Fair as the light of dawning day and glorious as the noon. The meek at last the earth possess, and are the heirs of heaven. True riches with abundant peace to humble souls are given. Rest in the Lord and keep his way, nor let your anger rise, though providence should long delay to punish haughty vice. If you struggle with envy, dear friend, the sin of envy, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. Yield not to temptation. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, your Holy Spirit, your Holy Son, most of all, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for your mercy, your love and grace. Thank you for speaking to our hearts once again throughout this day. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help us to confess our sins and to repent even of the sin of envy and jealousy that has gotten so many people in trouble down through the years, and some are dead. We pray that, Lord, you will particularly save the millennials who are caught up in social media and who are depressed, defeated, and disgusted because they can't keep up with the Kardashians. Lord God in heaven, we pray that you will save their souls, redeem their souls, have your Holy Spirit to reclaim their backslidden lives. And we pray that you'll save those who are lost in it all and don't know what to do, even tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, as is my custom as an evangelist, I am not a pastor. I've never been a pastor. I have pastored churches before, but that's not my calling. My calling is as an evangelist, and I knew that when God called me. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Bible says, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and call on his name and ask him to save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you want to be saved tonight, this is what you need to do. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simply believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He is the eternal sacrificial Lamb of God who died for our sins, who took away the sins of the world, including yours. I cannot explain all of that to you. Just thank God for it. He paid our sin debt and took it, as the song says, far, far away. And all you have to do is trust in him. Receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ by believing on Jesus Christ. Believing in your heart that he died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried because he truly died, and rose from the dead on the third day, early one Sunday morning. And all you have to do is believe on him and pray and ask him to save your soul. It is the good news. It is the greatest news in the history of the world, because all of our problems in life and in death stem from sin. And that has been taken out of the way. That has been taken care of. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. So just believe on him. Trust him as your Savior. And he'll save you. And if you want to be saved tonight, yes, it is that easy. Yes, it is that simple. Why would God make it hard for such wicked and ignorant people as we are? He just wouldn't do it. He's not going to do that. Because we would mess it up. And we're still trying to mess it up. Some are trying to make it hard. It's not hard. Simply believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the easiest thing you can do. And pray a few words. Call on his name and ask him to save you. And he'll save you right now tonight while you're driving down the road. Some of you are already in bed. You're listening to me on Alexa or some other device. You're almost asleep. Get saved before you go to sleep because you could die in your sleep. So sit up and pray this prayer. Repeat it after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, while believing in your heart on Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose on the third day. Holy Father God, repeat after me. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have sinned by choice and by nature. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have taken your holy name in vain before. I've disobeyed and dishonored my parents. And many other sins, such as lust and covetousness in my heart towards people and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. I know that I deserve to go to hell forever, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. And save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that he died for my sins. Was buried. And rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil ways. And help me to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in Jesus Christ, if you just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life. And that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, Please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.